Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone had eaten,
The disciples picked up 12 baskets of crusts and broken pieces of bread and crumbs. There were 5,000 men there. Somebody said 5,000 men there. Not to mention all the women and the children. So if the Bible didn't really say, but to my knowledge, if he had already said 5,000 men, and that didn't include the women and the children, to me, he must have fed 10, 15, 20,000 people out there. I'm talking about 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on to the other side of the sea where he dismissed the crowd. Then after the crowd had gone, Jesus went up to a mountaintop alone as he intended from the start. And as evening descended, he stood alone on the mountain plain. Now tell me that wasn't a miracle working God. He had went to spend some time alone, on the boat. Sometimes we have to sacrifice, what we want to do for God, amen? But as he begins to spend time alone, he began to see the crowd of people, They didn't want to go and leave. They wanted to follow Jesus. But as they began to follow Jesus, Jesus began to look and he saw that there were people that were lame. He had compassion on the people. He felt their hurts. He felt their shame. He felt their rejection. He felt that they only needed to be touched by him. All he wanted to do was see the people healed. He wanted to see the lame walk. He wanted to heal their hurt and rejection. Jesus loves us just like that. He feels what, say amen. He feels our shame. He feels our hurt. He feels when we're sick. He feels when we're diseased in our body. He knows our rejection, and he saw that in the crowd. He didn't want to stay there, so he took it upon himself, hallelujah, to go and meet the crowd. He took it upon himself to go because he had such love for us. That's the way he is toward us. That's the way he is toward his people. He loves us so much. He wants us to have that relationship with him to the point that we can feel others hurt, that we can feel the pain of others, that we can feel when people are going through things, that we can sacrifice our time and go and meet the needs of whatever people need in the name of Jesus. So as he begins to teach, as he begins to proclaim miracles, one to another, it began to be late in the afternoon. And don't you know sometimes people will walk with you, and be right there by your side, and still don't believe, The disciples were right there, They saw the miracles that God had done. They saw people getting healed. They saw the hurt. They saw the shame and rejection. They saw the lame walk. They saw all the miracles there with Jesus. But then after a while, and they were in a deserted area, an area that was mostly isolated from other areas. And the disciples begin to tell Jesus, well, it's sort of late in the evening, Jesus. Maybe it's time to go and just send the crowd away. Maybe that's God that they need. They need us. So why are they going to be getting hungry, Jesus? And you know, we're getting hungry too. But you know, send them away later. No, they can eat right here with us. Somebody said, we all can feast together. And God said, Jesus said, well, let them sit here, and we can eat here, and feast together. But the disciples didn't understand, we can be our scalable son. We can see what God is doing. We can see the miracles of God. But our scalable son, and we just don't understand. But we have to ask God God, for wisdom. He said, above all, get wisdom, get knowledge, put in all your gifts, get understanding of what I'm doing. Know when it's me, know when it's not me. Get the understanding of how I move. So God begins to just allow Jesus to allow the people to sit there. And all of a sudden, the disciples said, well, Jesus, we only have like 5 loaves of bread for you. 5 loaves of bread. We only have 2 fish. It's not even enough. How many times when we see something as nothing, it's nothing unto God. God said, well, bring me what you have. We got to work with what we got. We got to work with what God has put in our hands. It may not always be a lot, but work with what you have, Pastor. We may not have a whole lot, but work with what you got in here. Thank you, Jesus. And the 5 loaves of bread. He lifted up before God, and he gave thanks unto it. Sometimes we got to be more thankful than when we are. We got to thank God always. Even if it's from the sound of the good, even if it doesn't seem like it's a lot, tell the Lord, thank you anyhow. Thank you anyhow, God. Whatever way you want to bless me, Lord, I just thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you in advance. And as he begins to thank God for the 5 loaves of bread for you, and the 2 fish, God begins to multiply. Oh, he begins to multiply. He begins to multiply. Sometimes it looks like it's not enough. So the people were eating the good of the lamb. He fed 5,000 men. That includes the children and the women. He fed more. The food was multiplied. He even had more left. But then after all the people were fed,
I'm telling you today,
Don't give up, because he is a miracle working God. Some of you have already gotten a doctor's report, but God says, I am your healer. All you have to do is believe, and trust me at my word, and you shall see the manifestation of my glory. There's some of you right now that's asking God for mortgages. There's some of you right now that's behind on car payments. God said, all you have to do is ask. You have not asked. But God said, if you ask me, it shall be given unto you. Get up, Osata. God said, I am the Lord that God, and there is none other. And I am still in the miracle working business, God. All you have to do is trust me. And I'm asking God today, and I'm asking you all today, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up. And it's in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. I thank God for Pastor Joyce and that message. That message was on point in so many, many, many different ways. Don't give up. When Jesus was ministering to those people, he saw their infirmities. Amen?
Yes.
He saw what they stand in need of.
Yes.
And let me tell you, as a church, moving forward, we don't want to be known as a people that care more about the building,
amen,
the lights, the floors, the toilet, the kitchen,
yes,
and we're stumbling over people that are sick,
yes,
emotionally,
yes,
physically, spiritually, and financially.
Yes.
And when they,
yes,
come to us and they have a need, we say, we ain't got it, amen, because we got to pay the light bill and the water bill and all that kind of stuff, amen?
Yes.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I stand the death that them people weren't concerned about no light bill, no water bill, no rent either. They wanted something to eat.
Yes.
Someone wanted to be healed.
Yes.
Nobody came up there and said, can you help me pay the car down? They was able to be out there walking,
yes,
to get a healing,
yes,
to get delivered, to get set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is the main leadership lesson we want to walk away from this? Pay attention to the needs of the,
yes,
people,
yes,
and don't say we ain't got it. We ain't got enough. Take what you have, like she said in her word, bless it, lift,
yes,
it up to God, bless it, and watch God,
yes,
multiply. Amen? You're supposed to take everything to God anyway. You're supposed to lift it up before God anyway. He never called you to be a burden bearer. He's a burden bearer. Amen? He's a strong deliverer. He's a mighty God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that provides. Now, hallelujah.
Yes.
He's,
yes,
Jehovah Rapha. He's the one that heals. Amen.
Yes.
We'll just come to him. Amen. Of his blessings. Amen. And so, leadership lesson again. Take what? Take the burden to the Lord.
Yes.
Take the need to the Lord.
Yes.
Take what you stand in need of, what everybody else stand in need of, and take what's in your hand and lift it up before God, and watch God multiply it. Amen. Thank you for that leadership lesson. Leaders, we have everything that we need to get the job done. We have everything that we need to get the job. We're not lacking anything. I read in the New Living Bible translation to one of my patients the other day. I turned it to the 23rd Psalm, and in this particular version, it says, because,
yes,
here on my fire,
yes,
because the Lord is my shepherd, huh? The reason I don't want is because the Lord is my shepherd,
yes,
huh? Ain't no want department covenant relationship,
yes,
huh? He said, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory.
Yes.
So, because he is my shepherd, huh? I shall not want. Teacher said, have you asked God to bless what's in your hand? Because he can multiply what's in your hand. Amen. You don't have to want for anything. Amen. Because in you is a hidden treasure anyway. Tap into the kingdom of God, which is within. Amen. We have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. Amen. We have this treasure where? In us. We have this the answer where? In us. We have the provision where? In us. And greater is he
glory
to God that is in us than he that is in the world. How about that? That's God loving on us.
Yes.
He loved on all them 5,000 men, plus women, and children out there in the desert. Amen.
Yes.
He did not send them away. Amen. And God is not a send away God. He's not going to send you away unhealed, undelivered, you know, in turmoil. Amen. He's going to send you away whole. He sends you because he's a great physician.
Yes.
Amen. For you to be a testimony. I'm sure everybody went left there and said, you know, we had the best braised fish that we've had all our lives.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It was some kind of good.
Yes.
I don't know what they put in that bread, but it was a bomb got some. Amen. I don't know what kind of season was on that trip. It was better than New Orleans season. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know that here at Love Zone, we believe that the Lord says that we should be a joyful people. Amen.
Amen.
He said rejoice. Hallelujah. And again, I say rejoice.
Yes.
We say we bless coming. What? And we bless going. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to be compact today because we got a lot of things to cover. We just want to render this song together as a congregation, and we'll navigate on into our preached word for the day. We call it the love script. Amen. God sends us a love letter in the Bible. And amen. In it, that love letter is a long letter.
Yes.
It's from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Long love letter. Amen. You know he loves you. He can't just write one page. He got to write you a whole book. Amen. He got to take you to Route 66. Amen. Amen. Make sure you get it. Amen. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Amen. And at the end of it, I love it. He said, now, after all this, return to your first love. Take and do the first works. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to be doing here at Unfailing Love, in the Love Zone. This song is dear to my heart. And we used to sing it in the Baptist church back in Texas. Every time after we take up an offering, amen. And we're going to take up an offering today, amen. But after they take up the offering, or while they're taking up the offering, actually, they took up, you know, in the Baptist church, they used to take up 3 or 4 or 5 offerings, amen. After the 5th offering, amen, you know, you know the song. You can't be God's giving, no matter how hard you try. Just keep on giving, because it's really true that you can't be God's giving. No matter how you try, amen. You can't be God's giving. No matter how you try. The more you give, the more you give. The more gives to you. Just keep on giving. Because it's really true that you can't be God-given. No matter how you try. And that goes for everything, amen? You give a little love, you're going to get more back. You give a lot of love, you're going to get more back. Amen. You give a little money, you're going to get more back. You give more money, you're going to get more back. Amen. Because God has a multiplication system. Amen. He is a multiplier. Amen. He knows how to add, and he knows how to subtract. And I'm glad he knows how to subtract. Amen. And when I gave my burdens to him, he subtracted them off of my worry page. Amen. He took the weight, you know, of my sin. Amen. He took the weight. Huh? He took the weight now. Amen. And he gave me his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. He gave me his everlasting, unfailing love. Amen. So I would recommend you give.
Yes.
About to give, and it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God caused sin to give unto you. Amen. And I want to thank you, thanks to God. Amen. Here at Unfailing Love Ministry, and to those that are listening all over the world. Amen. God is in the giving business. Amen? He's in the saving business. He's in the delivering business. He's in the healing business. Amen? And he does all of that well. Amen? Some of y'all looking for a master coach, but you need to go to the master. Amen? And get what you need first. Amen? The Bible says in a multitude of counselors there's much safety. But the Bible also says in Isaiah 9 and 6, he is a wonderful counselor. Huh? He is a mighty God. Hey, glory to God. He is the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. Tell somebody, amen? Hallelujah. We got the best of the best, amen? We got the one and only true and living God, amen? With unfailing love, amen?
Amen?
He come with what we need.
Amen.
We need a God who loves us unconditionally.
Yes.
We need a God who loves us beyond our faults and past our needs. We need a God, amen, who will keep on forgiving us.
Yes.
He said, now, if you caught overtaken in a fault, amen, turn, amen.
Yes.
Repent, amen, and I'll forgive you.
Yes.
And the saints of God used to tell us coming up, and he was cast it in the sea of forgiveness. Now, I ain't found that in the Word, but I do know one thing. He will pardon your sins.
Yes.
He's a great partner. Amen?
Yes.
God will let you off the hook more times than you can get on it. Amen?
Yes.
God will let you off the hook. Minister Gould, he will let you off the hook. Amen?
Yes.
Ask Joseph how many times God let him off the hook. And still said, this is a man after my own heart. Amen.
Yes.
How many times, amen, have he let you off the hook?
Yes.
How many times have you had to say, God, you know I blew that. God, you know I messed that up. God, you know I wasn't loving enough. God, you know I wasn't patient enough. God, you know I was just stupid. God, you know I was just, I was messed up, toe up on the floor up. Amen. God, I deserve the punishment, but you said, take this test. Amen. They should have locked me up, but they set me free. Huh? They should have buried me, but up here, I'm a prisoner. I'm walking around. Got the activity on my limbs. Got a piece of my right mind. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a God who gives. Amen? Glory to God. And that ain't even a part of my message, but I have to just go with the flow. Amen? As the Spirit is speaking. There is a love script word today talking about that same passage, Matthew 14. Y'all hang with us. Amen. Here at Unfailing Love Church Radio Ministry, we, as a corporate body, amen, we read out of the Conference Bible. Amen. I love this Bible. It has some very, very colorful words in it. Amen. It is not far off the mark at all, too, as all new translations may seem a little bit. But this one is a compass. This is a study Bible for navigating your life. Amen. It's from the Voice Ministry. And how many of you know that if you don't have a navigator for your life, amen. You know, I'm not talking about a GPS as in your instrument. I'm talking about God, amen, perfected,
amen,
strategy for your life, amen. If you don't have a God for your life, if you don't have the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not to your own understanding. Don't look at your watch, amen. Don't look at your calendar. Amen. Don't look what you have written down in your little to-do list. Amen. But if you say, God, order my footsteps. Amen. The Bible tells us that God will order our footsteps. Amen. And we don't want to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, hallelujah, glory to God, we want to acknowledge him so he can direct our path.
Yes, yes.
How many of you know there's never been a great movie ever put on cinema that didn't have a great director?
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
That's why they have those awards at the end, and the best director.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or the movies. You know the movie that made the most money in the box office. You know what I'm saying? Did everybody love it? It was a favorite movie. Amen.
Yes.
Then he did. The director did something extraordinary with the cast. Amen.
I mean, you can have the great actors. But that doesn't mean, amen, that a great actor can pull it off all by itself.
Yeah.
It needs that director telling you where to stand, where to go, how to move forward, amen, and how to fix your mouth so this will get the message that's out, get out, amen.
Yeah. Glory to God.
so that we ask the Lord to be the director, be the GPS, be the God that directs our path and all that we do. So we read from this Navigator Bible, and I had to set this Bible up, because this Bible sucks.
You're probably going to run and get all the translations you got and go, I never saw that before. I wonder if this is true. Well, after you read this version, then go and look it up in Webster Dictionary if you don't believe it. While the word that I'm going to use from this translation is going to really bless you. It's going to change some things.
Here's Matthew 14. Here it is. Starting at where our leadership teacher left off today. I'm starting at verse 24. You there with me, everybody? I'm feeling love. Love's on you here.
Amen.
Here you go. The boat was in the water. Where was the boat?
In the water.
From the land. Somebody said a long way.
Long way.
It was buffeted and pushed around by waves and wind. It was a storm on the sea.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Deep in the night. Somebody said in the midnight hour. In the early morning. Huh? He had concluded his prayer. Jesus prayed into the deep of the morning. Some of us can pray with him 1 hour, anytime. But he had gone away, as our teacher had said. He started to pray. He saw the people. He had compassion. He stopped and went. And he fed them spiritually. And he fed them physically. And then he went back. He went back to pray. Some of us get distracted and we don't ever get back to praying. But Jesus went back to praying after he sent the people away and sent his disciples away. He
in the evening then he stood alone. When? On the mountain. And he was praying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was in a hot place praying. And then he went down from praying. And he began to walk in the midst of a storm. Huh? Deep in the night, when he had concluded his prayers in verse 24, Jesus walked out on the water. Remember, it was a storm. We just described that.
And he walked to his disciples to their boat. The disciples saw a figure moving toward them, and they were terrified. Huh? How many of us see stuff looming and we become terrified? We think, oh my goodness, it couldn't be Jesus coming to me because it looks like a storm. And I can't see Jesus for the storm, clearly.
I can't see him. The wind is blowing. I can't see Jesus. Things falling apart. I can't see Jesus. I got bills on my desk. The doctor's report right there. It's a wind. I can't see Jesus. It's been blocked here. My husband is stupid. I can't see Jesus. Huh? Jesus is coming, but we are looking at the storm, and we can't see clearly. That is Jesus. Nobody looked like Jesus. Nobody looked like Jesus. Amen? But they couldn't see him. Y'all with me?
The disciples saw a figure moving towards them, and they were terrified. One disciple said, it's a ghost. Huh? And y'all, how many of y'all know we still see a ghost? I don't care if they have a name. If it's a cast or a friendly ghost, I ain't no entertainer. Amen? And another disciple,
what will we do? A ghost? What are we going to do?
Sometimes when you're in a storm and you can't see Jesus, you go get the wrong people. So they're going to see what you see. You say it's a ghost? It must be a ghost. The doctor says cancer? It must be cancer. You never get out of that?
The wrong people. Amen. When you think you're in a storm and you can't see Jesus, you got to get the right people. Amen.
To agree with you. Jesus said, it's stormy, it's thundering, it's lightning, the winds are thrashing the boat, and we see something that we don't recognize. It's hard to recognize Jesus in a midst of a storm.
So, Jesus had to use his voice. What is the first thing he said? Be still.
Stop wondering in your mind. Stop being fearful. Stop being terrified. Stop being afraid. Amen. Stop quivering. Stop shaking in your boots. Stop your knees from knocking. Just because there's a storm. Just because you see something coming. Amen. You say, it's me. It is I. And you have nothing to fear. Everybody come with that. Amen. The Bible even tells us in John, and let not your what? Your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe what? In me also. Amen. And so, and then here's Peter. You know, Peter was always quick. Peter would cut your ear off quick. He's quick to react. He was a quick reactor. Amen. He just, you know, okay. When, I'm ready. He's ready to make the next move. I like that about Peter. He's ready. He ain't slow for now. He's listening. He's listening to the Lord. If it is really you, then he's trying to test Jesus. If it is really you, then this is going to mess you up right here. Because somebody, we always say, what did he come? This translation, I love this translation. It says, then command Messiah, me to meet you on the water. Command. Minister Gould, you've been in the military. When your commander commands you, is he saying, do you think you'd like to do this right now? Is that it's one of those, you know, do you have a choice kind of thing? But he says, soldier, Marine, attention. Soldier, push it. You know, soldier, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The command is a command. From command, yeah. You better be about it. Amen? And here, I love this translation. Jesus said, Peter, and I can just speak from this translation. I'm just giving Dr. Z version here. From this translation, I can see Jesus. And I got two of y'all on here who call me a ghost, and this one is going with a if. If is you. Yeah. So I didn't hear it enough. He said, come on out here, Peter. I can hear him. Peter,
yeah.
Commanding you to walk on this water.
Yeah.
And so Peter got out of that boat quick. That's just Peter quick, right? Peter got out of the boat quick. And said, Peter stepped out of the boat, verse 29. He stepped where? Onto the water. The Bible doesn't say you always have to look. Hey, look at this. You always have to look at what the Bible has not said. Amen? Did the Bible say that the wind stops blowing? Did the Bible say that the water stopped being boisterous? Did the Bible say that the storm has ceased? Did the Bible say, Jesus said, Jesus told them to be still, but he didn't speak to the water right there, right? That's another story where he woke up out of the boat and they would take care of not to repair. He said, how long I'm going to be with y'all? He said, the peace to be still. That wasn't this is not that water story. This is not that storm story. This is a different storm story. Well, he commands Peter to walk on a boisterous windy walk. He commands Peter to move when he didn't have no life jacket on. He commands us sometimes to move when we ain't got no money in our pocket. He commands us sometimes to move when we don't know where we're going. We command us sometimes to move when we look around everybody who was with us gone. He commands us to move, amen, when the doctor say, amen, there's he commands us to walk in it, walk on out it, walk into our healing. He commands us. Hallelujah. Oh, no, y'all don't want to hear that kind of God. Y'all want to hear the God that says, you know what? You know, you can just have it your way. Do what you want to do. But no, Jesus himself, stay on the boat, I'll come get you. Stay on the boat, I'll come crowd in with you to be all right. He said, no, come in. Command me, come. Tell me what to do. Don't give me a choice. Teach me how to walk on water. Teach me how to walk in a storm. Teach me how to walk when I don't have a life jacket.
teach me how to walk when ain't nobody getting with me and coming. All the disciples, ain't nobody said nothing to Peter. All them being on the boat. Ain't nobody talking for Peter.
Ain't nobody getting that storm for Peter. Or you a Peter today. Will you get out in a storm and ask and command God? Ask God to command you to walk, amen, in a storm. And so, when Peter said that, the Lord, if it be truly, will command me to meet you on the water.
Indeed. Huh. Now, this indeed is something you got to go deeper with, too.
There's another person who used the word in the scripture, indeed, and that was Jabez. Jabez's name meant pain. And back then in the biblical times, you were what your name was. Amen?
His name meant that he should have had pain all of his life. And anybody who has pain all your life, amen, you may feel bitter, scared, afraid person. You don't want nobody touching you. You can't embrace anybody. You don't want to dream. You don't want to have any plans for your life because you are always in pain. You're going from one storm to the next. You're going from one disappointment to the next. You're going from one abandonment to the next. All kinds of things happen to you when your whole life is about pain. The Bible says that he only prayed one time, and that this one prayer was, Lord, I'm sorry, would you bless me indeed? Will you surely bless me? Will you without a doubt bless me? Will you bless? Will you put a guarantee on the blessing? And when you do that, I just want you to enlarge my territory. Broadway for me. Increase me, God. Increase me in my body. Increase me in my mind. Increase me in my spirit. Increase me in my home. Increase me on my job. Increase me in my community. Increase me in my church. And do it so where people walk out to God be God. God blessed him indeed. It wasn't just a small blessing, but it was a big, wide blessing. It was so huge that you could not recognize it. You had to recognize it. You had to say God did it. Nobody could do it that big for a man that's been in pain all his life. But God, blessed be indeed so that people would know that you did it. And you alone did it. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus told Peter, indeed, come. Huh? Ain't nobody calling you but me. Ain't nobody commanding you but me. It's me, Peter. I'm telling you to walk on a storm. I'm telling you to come on out and meet me. I'm telling you that your way is going to be successful.
I'm telling you that you should not fear. I'm telling you that I got you. I'm telling you I got your back. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on me. I'll keep you above the fray. I'll keep you above the storm. You will not sink. You will not drown. You will not be disappointed. Hallelujah.
And so back here we said this here. Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water and began walking. Somebody said he was walking already. He was taking more than one step.
See, he said he would have taken one step and began to sink, we'd have something to talk about. It'd be a different kind of sermon. Amen. One step and you're done. But the Bible said he was began to walk. In other words, he'd take more than one step. If you want to, you really want to get the blessing, say that he got a little distance. He walked a little way. He didn't walk to the and he got a little confidence in himself. Amen. He got so confident. Sometimes we do that. We get so confident in his in ourselves that we take our eyes off of Jesus. Huh? We get so confident in our walk. We feel like, oh, I got this. I don't need to look at Jesus no more. I don't need to pray no more. I don't need to worship no more. I don't need to pay my tithes. I don't need to be nice to people. I don't need to be loving. I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need to be caring. I can go back to business as usual because I'm out here walking. I'm walking on all my storms. I'm walking through the wind. The wind ain't swaying me. I'm walking in the water. And my feet ain't wet. I'm walking. did. That's why I made my first mistake. The Bible says, but when he remembered how strong the wind was, his courage caught in his throat, and he began to think, well, after he had been walking for a minute, after he got a little full of himself, he began to look around, and he kind of said, wait a minute, hold up, this storm ain't ceased. There's a lot of water out here. I didn't realize how much water was out here. I didn't realize that Jesus was still in the deep. I didn't realize that the wind could blow this hard. That he stopped right in his throat. How many times we stop confessing that God didn't call me, he didn't bid me to come, he done blessed me and blessed me indeed. I'm highly favored. Come on, when we get a storm, we start talking about what God had already done and what he had already said. Oh, I forgot God said that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I forgot God said that I'm more than a conqueror. I forgot God said that I'm the head and not the tail. I forgot God said that he'll supply all of my needs according to it. We forget what God had already said. So something probably your throat, can you speak life? Can you word? Can you tell yourself keep walking? Can you tell yourself keep your eyes on Jesus? He got all choked up. There was something he could say. I'm sure when he started out walking, he was praising God. Praising Jesus. Thank you for letting me come. Thank you for giving me another step. I feel another step coming on. I'm still studying. I ain't thinking. But soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, soon as he began to guard to regard the wind and the storm and the rain and the troubles and the bills and the discontentment and the debt, as soon as he started lifting those up bigger than who Jesus was. Amen. The Bible says, if you lift me up, hallelujah, if you just lift me, hallelujah, glory to God. And so here we go. The Bible says he got caught up in his throat. He couldn't speak. He couldn't speak courage. He couldn't speak life. He couldn't speak deliverance. He couldn't speak what God has already done. He couldn't remember even that God had already. And the Bible tells us right here that he began to think, not Jesus. Notice that Jesus is still walking on the water. Jesus ain't in the boat yet. Jesus is probably standing still looking at him going like, what you start walking for? Huh? Standing on the storm. And Peter is thinking, but the same Jesus who just a few days ago now, a few hours ago right now, fed 5,000, yeah, plus women and children, with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread, the same Jesus, yeah, amen, that had compassion on the multitude, had compassion on Peter, yeah, that was thinking, yeah, the one you asked me to command you to come, amen. Top of the storm. But when I bid you to come, you took your eyes off of that. When I bid you to come, stop. And begin to regard the things that were coming against you rather than to regard the things that were for you. Because I'm for you. I'm for you, Peter. I always have been, Peter. The Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I've already prayed for you, Peter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so this is what Jesus did. And the response to us,
Master,
glory to God, shake.
He didn't tell, he didn't say, Master,
pay my bill.
Master,
get me a car.
Master,
get me a spouse.
Master, fix over all my enemies.
He just said, Master, save me.
Just save me, Pete. Save me. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer right now. I don't need no things. I don't need no houses in the land. I don't need no riches. My bank account don't have to be overflowing. I just need you to save me.
Hallelujah. Everything else can go away. As Job said, naked I came in here, naked I go out, but I'm going to hold on to my integrity in God. And so Peter said, faith, great prayer. We get it. We get into a whole lot of long prayers when all we need to say, Jesus, is you just say,
Jesus, if you just deliver me.
Jesus, if you just teach me.
Jesus, if you just correct me. Come on, we don't want prayer, do we? Hallelujah.
And so this is what I love about this translation. Everybody say immediately. How long is that?
And you know what? Peter needed that kind of word. Because Peter was quick.
Peter needs Jesus. So, Peter, if you pray a little longer, I'll think about coming. He didn't say, Peter, if you just wait on me, I'll get there after a while. But the Bible, I love this translation. Man, he said, immediately, Jesus, reached out in the ocean. Who did he reach for? He reached for Peter. Are you Peter today? Want Jesus to reach for you when? Immediately, huh? And Jesus caught him.
Let me tell you what. Some of you running from the wrong thing. You're running from your calling. You're running from responsibility. You're trying to keep from figuring out how you have to give more and give less. But this time, Peter just wants to be saved. At this minute, Peter just wanted to be caught. And he wanted it not tomorrow, not next year, but Peter wanted an immediate catch. You've been catching, you've been speaking about a fish. Uncle Fish in water. Catch me now, Jesus. Put me on your hook, Jesus. Throw the lifeline out, Jesus. Catch me, Lord. Put your catch me right now. Put your catch me today. I'm thinking because I messed up. I'm thinking because I didn't keep my focus. Tell us the other Saturday, keep your focus. When we take our focus off Jesus, we're subject to get off the hook. I don't want to get off of the hook of Jesus. I don't want to get off of his line. I want him to catch me and keep me. Catch me and keep me. Catch me and heal me. Catch me and deliver me. Catch me and correct me. Whatever he needs to do, amen. Until I'm safe in the harbor. Don't give up on me. 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 This course. Jesus responded after he had caught. After he had catched. He said, now, oh, you, talk about me. Come on, y'all make this confession because you think you got more than what you really have. Huh? He said, oh, you, a little faith. See, once y'all think that he had a great faith when he said, command me to come out. That wasn't the great faith. The great faith was when he started walking that he remembered that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see a situation. I don't see a quiet storm. This storm is loud. It's lightning. The boat is crashing. The water is getting on my robe. Hallelujah. This boss is out here. But faith will keep me focused on the right thing. Faith will keep me focused on Jesus. I had little faith when I took my eyes on Jesus. So that's why Jesus was qualified. Jesus was right on. Jesus was telling the truth when he said you had little faith. Well, some of us didn't even ask Jesus to command us to come. We just stayed in the boat. Stayed in fear. But kept wondering if it was a ghost. We are so Peter off the bus. Because I think he was talking to God against Peter when he got on the boat. He said, oh, he is before the one. He said, oh, y'all. Now just see, oh, Peter, a little bit. No, he's all y'all didn't even get out the boat. So, hey, you got to get out of the boat to walk home water. Those that did not get out of the boat, show you a little faith. Why did you doubt? And dance back and forth between following me, they kill him once again, the little bullshit, and heeding fear. So,
sometimes we vacillate. God, I trust you. I don't know if I could. God, I don't know you put me here, but you may take me down. God, I don't know. The storm, all the wind, all the rain, all the people ain't here, all the money ain't there. Oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, God, I wait fixture. I wait till I get a better job. I wait till somebody says me and I can see it in the bank. I wait till I see a platform to walk on. I need a pier to walk on. I need some dry land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But yeah. And now you're going back and forth between following me, dedicated on my side, and heading and heeding peace.
Fear has what?
Torment.
Yeah.
I'm going to close this message right now because y'all getting weary. Y'all don't see yourself out there like Peter, but I do. And I want Jesus to catch me, because I'm going to show up walk on water. I'm walking on water right now. I'm going to keep my eyes. I'm going to keep
it. Amen.
I don't care what the naysayers say.
They just say we ain't, and they just say they ain't, and they ain't. But I just say, I am a child of the King. I am already called. I am already saved. I am already delivered. I am already in my promised land. I am going to walk in this measure of faith that God has given me.
The Bible says that Jesus,
they came on the under the boat shop,
and Peter, what did they do? They climbed in the boat back together. Both of them hanging out preaching on the water to the ones that was in the boat, Jesus and Peter. We don't know how long it took us to get back into the boat, Brother Ben, but they stayed out there long enough to challenge the people who didn't get out of the boat. Why you vacillated back between following me and fear? Because you understood in the boat was hollering ghosts. It's a ghost, what we going to do. Ain't got no money, what we going to do. Ain't got no job, what we going to do. Ain't got no doctor, what we going to do. Hey, glory to God. You going to follow me or what? Hey, glory to God. Am I worthy of your following me?
Listen, audience. The Bible says this, that Peter and Jesus climbed in the boat together, and the wind became what?
When did it become still? After they had got back in the boat. And the disciples did what?
They watched Jesus walking on the in the storm. Then Peter went out there, and he was walking, and all of a sudden you didn't see him no more with his head and his hand coming up out of the water, and you could hear his voice kind of rumble through the waves.
Save me, Jesus. Catch me, Jesus.
They could hear is bubbles coming up out of the water. And then all of a sudden, both are back on top of the storm. The wind still blowing. The water still boisterous. And they stayed out there for a little while, like they were suspended in air or something, before they got back in the boat. And nothing ceased until they got safely back in the boat. You would worship if you see something like that. You would say, I didn't see something today. I saw Jesus. That was enough for me to see Jesus. But then I saw Peter walking on the water with Jesus. Peter, we thought he was a goner, but now Jesus lifted him up where he belonged, above the storm, above the wind, above the boisterous waters. Hallelujah. When you see somebody that should have drowned in their sin and drowned in their debt and drowned in their sickness, and they should have went down for the count. I saw my brother one time almost drowned. He go down one time. He go down two times, and the third time, and my boyfriend at that time, he saw him. He was on the shore, I was on the shore. I couldn't swim. All I could do was make a noise, and I screamed to the top of my voice, Jesus, save my brother. Well, I'm 2 years older than he is. He's 16, and he's still here. He was just 16 when he went down for the third time. I don't know how my boyfriend got way out there beyond 100 feet and saved him so quickly, except that Jesus accelerated
arrested his stroke, amen, and he made it out there, and he saved my brother. Well, let me correct that. The Jesus in him saved my brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God will use us for deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. So the people on the boat got to be on the shore. God, that's a miracle. When my boyfriend came up out of that water and my brother was still alive, I can see the water coming up, see the water coming up out of his mouth right now. And he was alive. He saved him alive. Hallelujah. You might be in radio land. You might be in the sanctuary of love zone today. And you need Jesus to save you right where you are, right in the storm you're in. I don't know all your stories. I can talk to you about mine. I can tell you about mine. But I can tell you this. I don't know about you, but I'd rather walk on the water, a boisterous water, a contrary wind. I'd rather walk with Jesus than stand and shake in fear. I'd rather walk with Jesus in the midst of my storm than sit on the sideline and let life pass me by. I would rather have a testimony that I'd be picking up for God to have give me a God-sized promise and a God-sized deliverance of my grief. I'd rather have enough faith for Jesus to say, hey, I work with what you gave me, like you told the woman. Go on, girl. Your faith has made you whole. I want to hear that kind of testimony. I walk and I press. I don't care how long I've been down, how long I've been bleeding, how long the storm's been going for. I'd rather walk with Jesus in the midst of the storm. Walk, amen, in faith with Christ. That's the word of the Lord today. And everybody said, the word of the Lord. Everybody said, the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord
is rich. Make it whole. Amen. Deliver me.
Amen.
From all my destructive. That's the word of the Lord. That's how much you love me. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. We want to ask you right now, again, radio land and people in the sanctuary. We want to ask you this question. Do you walk with faith? Amen. Are you walking with faith? What you walking with? You can walk on water, but you got to have faith. But the author of faith, the Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. You can't walk well. You can't walk in faith without him. We invite you to give him your heart to them. Give him your soul. Give him your spirit. I invite you to join him. Let him be Lord over your life. Let him become your deliverer, your wonderful counselor, your healer, your way maker. Amen. Let him become all of that to you today. He promised he would. You know, he says, I look before your life and death, and I give you an open book text to tell you to choose life. God help you live it. Amen. Who wouldn't love a God like that? This is your opportunity. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, amen, you made the best decision as you've ever made. The Bible said he bids you to come. He draws you with cords and bands of love. So if he drew you, you may have thought it was your idea, but if you accepted him today, it was a God idea. He was just helping you, drawing you unto himself because he loves you just that much. He wants to be. He said, I would that everybody be saved and come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's his desire for you. Who wouldn't love a God like that? If you made that decision, you have it all good. So some of us are in the house and not saved, haven't accepted Jesus as our Savior, came for other reasons. But if you rededicate your life to Christ or accepted him for the first time, find a fellowship of believers who believe the word of God. Amen. Get in that word for yourself. Be encouraged. Try to live that word out in life. Jesus help with you. Amen. And he will. Those of you who are in the house that are feeling love, amen. Your response to the word of God is to live it out. That's the best response. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to release our radio audience right now. We thank God for you joining us. Join us again next Saturday. Amen. At 6:30. If you want to come join us live next Saturday,
next Saturday. We don't have time with you doing it. It's going to be at the Elizabeth Sweeter's Last London College. It is 8542 Sunnydale Terrace, North Chesterfield, Virginia. We're going to be there live and in color, praising the Lord. We're going to set the neighborhood on fire. We may even have go down by the golf course, amen, and have church outside, amen. Depending on what it is, we're free, amen. And what the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so don't stay in bondage nowhere, no square. Amen. So we are going to our promised land. We want to invite you to join us wherever we are, worshiping Him. And stay tuned. We will put all of our announcements on Facebook. There is an Unfailing Love Ministry Facebook page. We invite you to join us there for the updated announcements. If you would like to give into our ministry, notice if you're watching on Facebook now, our broadcast, there is a number that you can text. It'll give you all the instructions on how to give and sow into this good ground. Unfailing Love Ministries. We invite you to do that. Like, text at 804-621-2896. And that would give you all the instructions on how to sow into this good ground. There was a woman up in Northern Virginia. She told me not to give her any glory, but give God all the natural seed to our ministry and helped us to make a great decision to move forward in God, in faith. And she sowed a substantial seed to our ministry this past Monday. And so, again, you're sowing in good ground. Others are doing as well. And they have testimony of God blessing them exceedingly, abundantly, above what they could think or ask. Amen. And there will be a response from God in your giving. You can't beat God's giving no matter what, how hard you try. We're going to ask Minister Drew to come up now and receive our offering.